Don't panic, I won't be asking for volunteers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for who you are.
Yeah.
I thank you that you are a faithful God.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you did come down and save us.
Yeah.
And Lord, I ask this morning that you just open our hearts and minds to what you need to say through me.
Yeah.
Do us good, do your people good, encourage us, build us up.
Yeah.
Lord, so we can be imitators of Christ.
Amen.
So we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it may have sort of passed your notice. I'm slightly short. Over the vertically challenged. And actually, I was destined to be actually another foot 18 inches shorter than this as a person, or a grown-up, as they call them. And what I ended up doing between the ages of 12 and 16 was to inject myself 3 times a week with growth hormone injections, which actually, through that period of your life, you're at the best at growth. And I got here. I eventually got up to here. And it's the same growth hormone that they extracted from cattle. And that cattle, actually, they've now found scientifically, is what is behind mad cow disease. So if I start foaming at the mouth and going moo, the exit's over there. So you've been warned. And why I'm saying this is as a very young child before the age of 12, and as a family, we moved around quite a lot as with my dad's job. We never settled more than anywhere for more than 3, 4, 5 years, and we were off again. So school for me was an absolute chaos. I never settled anywhere, never really made friends, because we were up and down all the time. But this made me prime meat and a prime target for the school bully. Being the size I am and not actually speaking their language, their lingo, their dialect. And I have to say the worst experience I had was actually up in the northeast, in Morpeth, when we moved up there at the age of 9/10. Again, I was prime meat for the residential bully to have a go at me, to pick on me, both physically and mentally. Thank you, Dave. Until it got to a point that I'd had enough. I had enough. And like a Jack Russell, I went for him. Yeah, and I absolutely decked him. I punched his lights out. And from that day on until I left that school 2 years later, he never went near me again. I have to say this is before I became a Christian. Because obviously the dilemma as a Christian is, do you hit them first and pray for them, or do you pray for them and hit them afterwards? I'll leave that one with you. We'll have the first slide, Pete Carroll. Leviticus 19:18 says, forget about the wrong things people do. Oh, by the way, before I read this, I don't know if you've noticed over the last few weeks, people have been quoting from the Amplified Bible quite a bit. I've gone one better. This is from the Youth Bible. Okay? Forget about the wrong things people have done to you, and do not try to get even. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not seek revenge. See, the overall message of Leviticus is God's holiness. Who God actually is in character. In fact, in Leviticus 9:2, it says, be holy, because I am holy. And here at this Leviticus 19, at this chapter, we find Israel camped at the Mount of Sinai. Through Moses, God is teaching them how to be like him. If you read Leviticus 19, it's all about don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Why? Because God wanted Israel to be set apart. He wanted a nation who would imitate his holiness to the rest of the other world that was there.
Yeah.
Not to conform to this world and the way they think or the way they do, but to actually stand out, to be part of God's holy nature. And when we get to Matthew 5:43, we come across this again. Love your neighbour as yourself. And the problem is the Pharisees took that upon themselves to think, hold on a minute, that actually means love those people who actually love you back. In other words, if they bless you and they like you and they love you, that's fine, you can do that. But it actually says there, they actually quote, love your neighbour as yourself and hate your enemies. That's what they were teaching back then. But Jesus says no. No, that is not what you do. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who bully you. Pray for those who give you trouble. Pray for those you can't stand half the time because they wind you up and you feel like punching their lights out. And you know what? Jesus came to show us exactly how to do it. You know, it says in Romans 5:10, it says, for while we were enemies. Yeah. Colossians 1:12 says, and you were once alienated and enemies in your mind. Get this one. James 4:4 says, if you are a lover of this world, you are an enemy of God. And like Israel, you see, our sinful nature comes into play. We rebel, don't we? We try to do things our way of thinking, our will, our strength. See, we, even if we like it or not, tend to conform to this world. I often look at the scene of the cross, a bit like Adrian was saying about reading about what's going on there. And there's a crowd of people. I mean, I don't know how many were there, hundreds, maybe 1,000. I don't know, looking at the spectacle that was going on before them. And I wonder how many people were actually going, yeah, get rid of him. Because I think people were milling in that crowd going, he needs to be crucified. He needs to be getting rid of. And rather than people saying, actually, no, I don't believe that, they go, yeah, maybe he does. Maybe he does. Maybe I don't believe what he's saying anymore. Maybe I don't believe in his teaching. Sounds familiar? Because when we're in the workplace, when we're with our non-Christian family, like me, it's easy to hear their voice going, did you really think that? When you look back at Genesis, it's the first things that came out of Satan's mouth to Eve. Did God really say that? Did he? You see, at the cross, people then started as a crowd going, we need to get rid of this guy. Not because of what maybe they were thinking or feeling, but influenced by other people in the crowd and their thinking and their ways. See, I put it to you that God's natural enemy is not Satan. God's natural enemy is mankind. It's you and me. Because we are the ones who rebelled against his way, his holiness, his calling, to be set apart, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, we were the ones who said, we rejected him, scorned him, mocked him, rejected him. We are the ones who cried, crucify him, even though he was innocent of all charges. And you know what the reaction, if I was Jesus, would have been? You know what? You're doing my head in. Call yourself a people. There you are. Come down. I've come to save you from death on a cross. What do? Mock me, scorn me, reject me. You know what? I'm going back to the Father and you can stick your salvation. That's what I would have done. But what did he do? He He cried, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive my enemies. Forgive the ones who have just scorned and mocked me, rejected me, and ridiculed me. For they know not what they do." You see, Jesus, at that moment in time, as Adrian said, when he took his last breath, he overcame evil with good. And folks were called to do the same. How? How do we become set apart? How do we not be in this world and not of the world? How do we imitate God's holiness in a world out there that's crying for it? See, it's countercultural to us. It isn't actually a natural thing for us to do. In our human instinct and our sinful way, we rebel against that way of thinking and doing it. See, Satan has a hold over us if we're not careful. See, he loves to bring doubt, guilt, fear. In fact, I think he was actually present at the cross at that time in the crowd. I think he was the one who was influencing the thinking at that time. See, like sheep, we like to be part of a crowd sometimes, don't we, if we're honest? We like to sort of sit back quietly sometimes and say nothing and not rock the boat. We don't like putting our head above the parapet sometimes. We like to be sort of part of that in crowd where we feel eased and comforted, and we don't like it when we have to do it. And Satan loves to bring his lies and doubts to us, doesn't he? He loves to say, like Mike said, "You're not really qualified to say that." In fact, I stand up at the front sometimes thinking exactly the same thing. And maybe you're doing the same this morning. But I tell you this, God has called me to do this. And whether I feel comfortable up here this morning or not, we're going to do it. You see, when we're out doing healing on the streets, when we're out doing street pastors, when we're doing community blessings, when we're gathering together in prayer, when we're here on a Sunday morning worshiping him, Satan gets very, very nervous. He doesn't like it when we're out there saying Jesus is Lord and Savior. He doesn't like it when we're out there proclaiming the gospel. Why? Because he fears us. When we truly imitate Christ, he gets a nervous breakdown. And folks, we need to do that. We need to give Satan a nervous breakdown, because he doesn't like it when we're out there proclaiming the gospel. I say this, Satan only has a hand over us because we allow it. I'll say that again. Satan only has a hand over us because we allow it. Put the next slide up, Ken. Those with Bibles, apps, whatever, this is actually the most well-known psalm, I would guess, Psalm 23. It's the one that's recited at funerals all the time. In fact, my good lady actually can recite this off by heart. I nearly asked her to come up and say it this morning, but like me, she's very shy. So I thought, best not. There could be trouble at home if I did. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 5 says, you lay a table before my enemies. My cup overflows. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You see, Jesus sits here and goes, come on, guys. Come and join me at my table. You are invited to sit here with me. When he anoints your head with oil, he's saying, come. It's an invitation to you to come. And when a guest is invited to somewhere, it is up to the host to look after their every need, their every want, their every comfort. And Jesus saying, come, sit with me. So you come and sit with him and go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing all that to me. I can now sit at your table. Not because what have I done, but because of what you've done for me at the cross. I can sit here in comfort at this table with you in which I dwell. You see, Psalm 23 is actually divided into three parts. It's divided into I lack nothing, I fear no evil, and I will dwell. And here we are in Jesus' presence, his holy presence, where he's invited me, the sinner, into that table.
Thank you, Lord.
The trouble is, we invite this muppet on this side going, really? Are you sure? Are you sure you're qualified to sit with him? Remember, you've done it again, haven't you? You know, you haven't really got on with that person at work. You haven't really done what Jesus has asked you and gone out and done the gospel. You've sat in front of the telly or you've prayed on your Playboy. Playboy. Play game, that's the word. There's a history you don't want to know. And you go, really, you shouldn't be at this table, you. You are not good enough. That's what he says. He'll tell you all the lies. He'll make you feel guilty. He'll bring fear into your life. And the problem is, we don't go up here and go, I'm sitting next to him. We go, yeah, are you sure? Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I am a bit rubbish, aren't I? Hello? I don't really feel like going out healing on the streets. I don't feel like going out on street passes at 10:30 when it's pouring down with rain. And God, he'll go, yeah, no, you might as well not bother. You don't go over here when he's going, you don't want to listen to that idiot. What's he talking about? I died for you on this cross. You were more than qualified to get over here and listen to me and my voice. Because I am with you. I dwell in you. And you dwell in me.
Thank you, Lord.
You have more than a qualification to go out there. You have nothing to fear. Forget what that silly idiot's over there is telling you. You see, what I bring is an abundance. I bring toys and presents and chocolates and everything. And it's here for you guys. And there you go. You can have all this on me. And I'm going, really? Thank you very much, Jesus, for supplying me with all that I need. Yeah, but I want to share it with that lot. That lot? That lot? You're having a laugh? I want all these for me. Precious. Lovely. And he's going, yeah, you're right. You want to keep all that to yourself. Forget that lot. And I'm going, lovely, nice. And Jesus goes, I bring an abundance. I actually bring more than what you can deal with. Because when you go out and go, I will actually bring you even more than what you've ever dreamed of. I will bring you an abundance, and that's not the first tin. There's more tins round the back. He says, go and share this with the people who actually wind you up. He prepares a table before my enemies. Not the people I get on with, the people I love, the people I get on with. My enemies, my troublemakers, the people I feel like punching, the feel like a Jack Russell wants to go out and smash them. That's my instinct. And Jesus is going, no, you need to go and bless them in my name. And he's going, whatever you do, don't do that. You can't do that. But within him I dwell. I have the strength to get up from this table in front of my enemies and say, you have to do a bit of role play here. Here you go, guys. This is for you. Actually, bye-bye. Jesus, any chance of taking the whispers out? Yeah, but not the whispers. What about the caramels? I like the caramels. All of it. And you go, here you go. Have what I've got. Have a Jesus that I've got in my life. You now can have. Here you go. Take it. Spread it around. Take what I've got and eat it. Because I'm going to spread the word of gospel around all my enemies. Help yourself. Pick them up. Use them. Because that's what we need to do from here in front of our enemies. And he's going, well, he gossiped about you at work, didn't he? Why are you giving him that? And that one over there, well, he never even gave you that stuff back you lent him. And this crowd over here don't even like you. And we go, here. Have more. Have more of what I've got. Take it. It's my blessing. Here, in the name of Jesus, take it. See, the thing is, it doesn't come natural to me, sitting here, going out to do that. I find it tough. And if we're truthful with ourselves, I think we all have that element of doubt, fear, and guilt. Especially when we're faced with the people we don't even get on with. We don't even like, sometimes, the people that do wind us up. If we're honest with ourselves, that's the truth, really. So how do I get past it? How do I stop what actually comes natural to me? How do I imitate Christ in the face of my enemies? Here we go. I need some audience participation here. Who's this? Who's this? None of that. Like that. Apple pear. Like that. Nice to see you. Okay, what about? Betty. The cats did the whoopsie. As? Frank Spencer. See, I tell you. Where else can you be entertained while being convicted? You see, people who do impersonations study the mannerisms of the person they're trying to imitate, don't they? They get into their characteristics, their mannerisms. They listen to their voice and how they speak, how they react and act. You see, those three imitations were fairly easy to look at. What I've got to ask myself is, when I'm out there in the streets, do Christ, is that who they see? Am I imitating Christ out there in Ormskirk, Bickerstaff, my workplace, my family? And half the time, I've got to be honest and say, probably not. Because my human instinct is to think like the world, to react and be part of what they're doing, what they're thinking. But am I set apart like Israel was supposed to be way back then in Leviticus, when God was teaching them how to be holy? See, I've got to stop what becomes natural to me. Not rely on the natural, but I need to rely on the supernatural. I have to stop trying to do things in my own way, my own strength, my own will, and trust in a power greater than mine. That is the only way I will ever imitate Christ as I should do. See, it's a power that defeated Satan at the cross. It's a power that shows mercy and overcomes evil with good. It is a power that invites me as a friend, not an enemy, at his table. So I can dwell with him in his presence. So I have the power to go out and face my enemies and be a blessing and an imitator of Christ to them. Because under my own strength, I will only do what the world tells me to do. And he sits here and says, come on, Mark. You and me are going to do this together. I dwell in you and you dwell in me. And you have the qualification. You have the strength to go out there in my name and bless this world with more than just chocolates, but with life. And it's a power that dwells in every believer. It's a power that comes through the Holy Spirit that allows us to stand before our enemies and say, here, I love you. I forgive you. I am going to bless you, just like Jesus did for you and me at the cross. When we cried, crucify him, he said, Lord, forgive them. And if we are to imitate Christ, we are to stop it doing our own thing. Because it's a power that allows us to be set apart from the rest of the world, to show that love and forgiveness that he showed us. See, to imitate Christ, I need to study his character. I need to practice and copy and imitate his mannerisms. I need to get into the word. I need to listen to what he's telling me what to do. Not what this Muppet over here is telling me to do, where he just wants to sit, have you sat here at the table doing nothing, because that's where he wants you here. You know, chilling out, thinking, why bother? We need to scare him, don't we? We need to make Satan a real nervous idiot. I would have got to say something else, but there's women present. Because we need to get cross with him, don't we? Are you fed up with it? Because I am. I'm fed up of listening to the wrong voice telling me I shouldn't be doing this and I shouldn't be doing that and you're no good and you're rubbish. Jesus saying, come on, guys. I'm with you. Let's get out there. Let's get our enemies looked at and say, come on, guys. He died for you too. See, I lack nothing. I am a more than a conqueror in Christ. Amen? Amen. Yeah. His rod and staff, which is mentioned in Psalm 23, you know what that is? That's his divine authority. His divine protection and guidance over you and me. See, I will fear no evil. You know what? He's more than a footstool under my feet. And he's crushed. And with that rod and staff, that gives me, a sinner, authority. authority over him. So when I step out in his name, I will fear no evil. I will tell people the love of Christ out in those streets, whether I look stupid or not, whether I get rejected or not, mocked, scorned, and ridiculed. Because let's face it, guys, we will do. There is a world out there that just will want to forget it. I don't want to know. And it hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Let's face it, it hurts us. When we're out there in the communities, in our workplaces, trying to witness to God, down in our lakes, as Mike was saying a few weeks ago. And people are going, forget that. You don't even know what you're talking about. It hurts. It does. It hurts me. I know it has. But I know I dwell in Jesus. I know whatever I've said to that person about my Lord, something's gone in. And it could be years, times that they may never see him again. We like this in street passes, as we all know. We were across our paths once, healing on the streets, very similar. But what we've done, what we've witnessed for him on those streets out there in Ormskirk, you just don't know what seed you've just sown just by showing that love of Christ out there. So never give up. Never give in. Now, I was sharing a couple of weeks ago about this guy, John, in our stable yard, who's got a kidney transplant coming up next week. And when I was speaking to him 18 months, 2 years ago, he was going, you know what? I don't want to know any of that. It's not for me. 18 months later, he's going, I'm going to trust in God in this. You know, all right, he hasn't given his life to Jesus yet, but come on, there's a process here. Yeah. Process makes progress. We have to keep going. Those people who reject, scorn, and mock us may yet, because of you and me, give their life to Jesus one day. And we'll never go know until we get into eternity. So be encouraged today, no matter what you face, no matter what this idiot on my side here saying, don't listen to him, because he's frightened of you. He is scared witless of you when you go out in the name of Jesus. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That doesn't mean when we get to heaven. That doesn't mean we suddenly go into heaven and sit down in our little mansion and go, that was good, wasn't it? Finally made it. When it says, when I dwell in his house forever, it means now. Right now. Not in the future. Not when we've fell off our mortal coil and disappeared. Now. This is when we dwell in his house. This is where we take comfort to say, yeah. Come on, Jesus. Let's go and get them for you. Can you forgive your enemies? The only way you will do it is not through your own strength and your own will, but trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you to make a difference to this hurting, dying world. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that you died for the entire world. I thank you that though you were mocked, scorned, rejected, and ridiculed, you went through with the process of dying for us so the progress would be that we would live. And Lord, I thank you that you dwell with us and in us. So that when we step out into those places that we feel uncomfortable, we feel nervous about, Lord, we know that you are with us. Lord, help us be imitators of Christ, not through our own strength and our own will, but trusting in a power that is greater than ours. And Lord, let's just make a difference to the people out there who don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Whichever people we mix in. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, build each and every one of us up into a mighty people of Christ as we come together in your name and we go by faith and we go by obedience and we make a difference to the people we mix with. In Jesus' name, amen.